Now, whether you believe it or not, there is a war going on in the spirit world around us, and we talked about that, and we went all the way back to Elisha and his servant there in the Old Testament, how an army had surrounded the city, and they'd come to get Elisha, and they were going to kill him and destroy him, you know, and boy, his servant was out there watching, and he saw all these horses and chariots and all these soldiers coming to get him, and he got scared, so he went there and he told Elisha, he said, wake up, they're about to kill us. And so I'm shortening this, okay, and I'm putting it in my own South Carolina dialect. And hurry up, they're going to kill us. What are we going to do? Have you looked out there? He said, there's an army out there, and they've come to get us. And he said, Lord, open up the eyes of my servant that he might see that there's more for us than there are against us. And the Bible says that the Lord opened a man's spiritual eyes where he could see, and said he saw an army, an angelic host, it called them, all around them, protecting them from that physical army out there. Listen, we're in a spiritual battle just as much as we're in a physical battle. Now, let's be honest, the world never has liked Christianity to start with. Never has. And of course the devil hasn't. He's been fighting God since the garden. And so we started talking about spiritual warfare. You can be saved. You can be a Christian. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and never even recognize this battle. And you just go with the flow, and whatever happens, happens, and you just accept it as God's will. And it may not be God's will what you're going through. It may be the devil's will. But if you don't know enough about the Bible that you can fight and you can rebuke the old devil and his crowd, then you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings. So my text is going to be Luke 9:23, but I want you to start back in Luke chapter 9, if you'll remember, verse 10, Jesus fed the 5,000. He fed 5,000. I know it's a very familiar story, you know. And so there were about 5,000 men, it says, and they sat down. And he made them sit down, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and he broke and gave to disciples to set before the multitude. Said they all, and they did eat and were all filled in verse 17. And then they took up fragments. And can you see that little boy's mama? That little boy brought 2 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread, wasn't that it? And had 1 basket. And when they took up the fragments, they had 12 baskets full. Can you see him when he came home and there was 12 men carrying 12 baskets and said, Mama, here's my leftovers. Amen. And he had just done a great spiritual work in a physical way. He had made 2 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Feed 5,000 men. That didn't even mention the women and the children. So there might have been 15,000. We don't know. And so a great miraculous physical work was done in a spiritual way, a miraculous way. He changed something into something else. Those little fishes, those little pieces of bread, he'd break them, and 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 it kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Now, that was a great thing to do, but I want you to notice what happens after that. In verse 18, it came to pass as he was alone praying with his disciples, this was after that great miracle, that great work. And his disciples were with him. He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Now, Jesus is asking the disciples, who are all these people? What do they call me? Who do they say I am? See? And they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah. And others say that one of the prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And in one of the other Gospels, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter made his statement that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then straightway he charged them, or he commanded them, and that they tell no man that thing, not the thing about the bread and the fishes, but what they said, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, he told them, he said, don't you tell people that. Why would he do that? It wasn't time yet. Wasn't time. And so, look here. Verse 21. No, 22. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Then you can say this is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God, because there'll be proof then, see. All right, then we come down to verse 23. Here's my text for tonight. He said unto them all, after the great miracle and this great statement, he says this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, a cross was a sign of death. Crucifixion. Anytime you talk about a cross, you think of somebody dying, being nailed to that cross. He said, now, I want you to take up your cross. I want you to die to yourself every day. I want you to do that. And here's why. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, he's not just talking about physical life. He's talking about eternal life after physical life also. And he says this, if you want to take care of yourself and you want to save yourself, then you're going to die eventually. The wages of sin is death. But if you want to follow me and deny yourself, because by following Christ you have to deny yourself, because you're not the Savior anymore. You're not your Lord anymore. He is, see. Okay? And then he said in verse 25, for what is a man advantaged if he shall gain the whole world, this world, and lose himself, or be a castaway? Now, they knew what that meant when they had the great judgment. You know, some people will come to him and say, but Father, I did this, I did that. And he said, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Cast him into the lake of fire, which burneth forever. Be a castaway. Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and holy angels. He said, now look here, if you're ashamed of me, if you can't die to yourself, you can't be my disciple. If you can't take up that cross, crucify yourself every day, and follow me, follow my teachings, follow me, be obedient to me. He said, then you're not worthy of going to heaven. If you love this world more than you love him or eternal life, you will not go to heaven. Now look at this. But I tell you a truth, that there be some standing which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, he was talking to his apostles, and they were going to see the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and him establish the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, that ain't heaven. Heaven's up yonder. I'll answer your questions after it's over. Okay, hold on to that question. I'm sure it's good. Listen, he's saying you must follow me. Now, how does that fit into a spiritual warfare? Okay, March the 5th, 1978, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I died to Ron Roddy. I died to Ron Roddy that day. And I was born again in Christ. Now that day, I laid me down and I picked up the cross of Christ, because now I identify myself with his death and his burial and his resurrection. That's what I'm identified with. I'm not identified as a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative or a liberal or a leftist or a communist or anything else. I'm identified as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, he's my Lord. He's my master. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my supplier. He's everything to me, see. Yes. So every day when I get up, Ron Roddy has to die, and I've got to walk, he says, in newness of life. I'm going to be different because I'm following him, and I'm letting him live through me. And I'm not going to be ashamed of him. Now, he's not ashamed of me, and he could be.
That's right.
Boy, you don't know where I come from. He could be ashamed of me. He could be ashamed of me since he saved me, but he's not. So why would I be ashamed of him? He loved me enough to die for me and die in my place and pay for my sins, past, present, and future sins. He paid for them all there on the cross. So every day I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to follow him. And in verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Just act like you don't even exist. And take up his cross and follow me. Now, Jesus, talking to his disciples, in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Same thing he said in 9:23 of Luke. Now, listen to this. Spiritual warfare begins when you take up that cross. Now, a lot of people accept Christ, but they don't get up every day and deny themselves. They go ahead and live any old way they want to, and they say Jesus is their Savior, and they pray the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord to save them, but nothing's ever happened. Their life doesn't change. They're never a follower of Christ. In order to be a follower of Christ, you're going to get in a battle. And every day you're going to have to fight this old flesh, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But there's several crosses I thought about, symbolically, okay? There's some things that we have to carry through this life as Christians. Okay? Number one, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Every day we have to pick up that cross of prayer. And if you think it ain't a battle to pray, you ain't never prayed very much. You ain't never prayed much. And it's a cross to carry to pray without ceasing. That means not just before you go to bed or right after you get up or over to lunch, you know. But it means all day, every day, from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, that's a cross to bear. That's hard to do. Don't sit there and act like you do that all the time. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Because we live in this old sin-cursed flesh. We forget about him. And we think about us. And sometimes we think so much of us, we don't even pray to see if it's his will what we want to do. We just go on and do it. Think that's the right thing to do because we want to do it. We didn't pray about it. I'm going to tell my old story right here. Story number 752, okay? He's got all my stories numbered. He ain't heard it. See, he hadn't heard it. There's several in here hadn't heard it. So they get to hear it. This young guy's walking down the sidewalk one day and he's counting his money, you know, and he comes up on this old preacher. Old preacher's washing his car, you know, there in his driveway. And he says, hey son, how you doing? He said, I'm doing real good. He said, what are you about? Where are you going? He said, I'm going down here to get me a car. I'm going to buy me a car. He said, son, you better say if it's the Lord's will. He said, no, preacher. No, I got the money right here. I've been counting it. I got just enough money. I just got it. I'm going to go down there. I done picked out the car. I'm going to get the car. He said, son, you better say if it's the Lord's will. He said, no, Lord ain't got nothing to do with this. He said, I done picked it out. I got the money. I'm going to get my car. He said, all right. A little bit later, he comes back, his shirt's all tore up, and he's bloody, and his hair's all messed up, and he's stumbling up the sidewalk, and the preacher says, son, what happened to you? He said, preacher, you know that car I was going to go get? He said, yeah. He said, you know I had that money all ready to go get? He said, yeah. He said, well, going down there, some boys jumped on me and beat me up and took the money. He said, what you going to do now, son? He said, I'm going home if the Lord will. Amen. That was good. You remembered it, don't you? Pray without ceasing. Now, that's a cross to bear. That's a cross to bear. It's hard to pray all the time about everything. This old flesh gets carried away and it wants something and it'll just go after it. And you say, oh, wait, whoa, let's pray about that. And the flesh says, no, we ain't got to pray about that. It looks good. And this old flesh sees something and you go after it. You say, whoa, we got to pray about that. And the old flesh says, no, that's good to the taste. That's good to the eyes. That's pleasing. Exactly the same thing that Adam and Eve said. Amen. Did they pray about it? They knew the command. Don't eat off of that. You'll surely die. And yet the flesh said, you ain't going to die. Of course, the devil whispered it to the flesh. It's hard to pray without ceasing. Now, Wednesday night's a good example. If we had a Wednesday night supper, and we said, Jeffrey's going to cook the best steaks in town. And we're going to have steak and a baked potato and a salad, and we're going to have the best sweet tea this side of the Mississippi River, and boy, we're going to have cake, and we're going to have pie, we're going to have some pumpkin pie, and some sweet potato pie, and we're going to have pineapple upside down cake, and we're going to have angel food cake, and we're going to, man, we couldn't hold the people in here on Wednesday night. But I say, we're going to have prayer meeting, Bible study on Wednesday night. The old flesh says, oh, you'll miss your favorite TV program on Wednesday night. Oh, Cousin Sue always calls you and talks to you on Wednesday night. You'll miss that. And by the way, you're tired. You know, you've been working all day. You're so tired. You just can't do it. The old flesh gives you all kinds of excuses. You see, it is a cross to carry, to pray without ceasing. It's a cross to carry. And then people come up to you and they'll say, listen, pray for my aunt. She's got this sickness and she's going through all these problems. And you stand there and you say, I'll pray about that. But you don't. Because as soon as they're out of your sight, you forgot it. That's why when I run into people out in public, they say, pray for so-and-so or pray for me or something like that. I say, well, let's pray right now. Right now. You say, preacher, ain't that embarrassing in the mall? No, it's a cross I carry. A cross I carry does not embarrass me when it's the cross of Christ. I'm just going to do it. And if people don't like that, that's their problem. It ain't mine. Amen. But look, it's hard to pray. I'll get in here and I'll get and did it today. Do that morning thing, you know, that morning devotion I do on Facebook Live. And, but before I do that, I come in here and I pray. And then I'll, y'all may not believe it, but I never know what I'm going to say on that thing in the mornings. I just grab something and start reading. So I'll come in here and I'll pray. But then some days I get so busy, I forget to pray first. And then after I get through that, I got all these other things I'm going to do and I forget to pray. And way over in the afternoon, I realize I have not even prayed. Now, I prayed with my wife that morning. We had a little short devotion, but I didn't go through my whole prayer list and everything like I'm supposed to do. I forget because the flesh will get sidetracked. We can call like one of those Belinda squirrels. It'll run over here a little while, then it'll run over there a little while, and it'll run out in front of this car and run out in front of that car. Can't be still. Well, see, that's what the flesh is. It is a cross to bear to pray without ceasing. You want to know why the nation's in the mess it's in? Christians are not praying without ceasing. You want to know why there's so much hate? Christians are not praying without ceasing. It's hard to hate somebody when you pray them and call out their name. Amen. 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 It's hard to shoot somebody when you're praying for them calling out their name. Amen. It's hard to gossip about somebody when you're praying for them and calling out their name to the Lord. Amen. And praying, that's a cross to bear. But it's a spiritual warfare. The devil will always give you something else to do or sidetrack you from praying, and that's our only communication with God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit is to stop and pray. Number two, another cross we have to carry in this spiritual warfare. Mark chapter 12. Turn there. I want you to mark it. Mark chapter 12. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Not mad at me, are you?
Yes, sir.
That's okay either way. I'm going to do it anyway. All right. Look, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Boy, you think we did that, we'd stay out of trouble. We wouldn't have time to do nothing else if we loved him like we ought to. And the second is this, Jesus said. The second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. What about robbing banks? No, there's no other greater commandment. If you love people, you wouldn't rob your bank. What about committing a false witness? No. If you love them like you ought to, you're not going to do that. This is the greatest commandment. Jesus said it. There is no other commandment greater than these. Wait a minute, Pastor. We got 10 moral law commandments, and we got 460-something ceremonial laws and all these things in the Old Testament, and you're telling me that the greatest thing I can do is love? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it. But you know, it's a cross to carry. It's hard to love the Lord. Look at it. It's hard. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Other people get in there. Other things get in there. With all thy soul, the deepest inner being. With all thy mind, you'll think about it. You ever been praying and you're trying to pray and your mind just goes off some other direction? You think about, man, I was supposed to cut the grass. Well, I was supposed to wash clothes. I was supposed to. Y'all ever done that? Amen. But if we loved him with all our mind, that wouldn't happen. With all our strength. My goodness, American Christians spend more strength on exercising than they do on Jesus Christ. They spend more strength on hobbies and habits than they do on Jesus Christ. And look at this. Now that's the first commandment. Now the second one's like this. Now you love everybody else. Now you love everybody else. You know, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. I was born in 54, grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And we sang a lot about love. I think of that song, Love Train. Everybody get on board the Love Train. Y'all ever heard that? Oh yeah, that was fun. And, I think a lot about, we sang about love, but did you know we had no clue what love was? A movie came out one time and all the girls liked, did you know? I can't remember the name of it. But the main point was in the movie, she said, love is meaning that you never have to say you're sorry. Love story. That was it. I think in the end they broke up. But anyway, I don't remember love story. I just remember that part. I almost puked. But anyway, it is work. It's a cross to carry to love God and then love others like you ought to. But as a Christian, that's a spiritual battle. That's not a carnal battle. And by the way, this thing here doesn't love anybody but itself. It says it loves, but it doesn't. When it says that, it usually wants something in return.
Amen.
If you love me, you would. That's the flesh talking. Amen? Jesus never... Look here. If you love God the way you ought to, you will love everybody else.
Amen.
Now, March 5th, 1978, God took hate out of my heart. I have no hate in my heart. I had it. I grew up rough and hard, and I had a lot of grudges, and I had a lot of people I just soon not seen around anymore, you know. But God took every bit of that out of my heart. I can't find hate in my heart anymore. Now, I might get mad at you, but I'll do what the Bible says. Anger, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to hate anybody. And I've had people hate me, and I've had people since I've been saved, and I've had people tell me they hate me. And I've had people do me real bad since I've been saved. There's been times I wanted to hate them and couldn't.
Wow.
Couldn't hate them. I couldn't wish them in hell for nothing in the world. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And I don't have any enemies. There may be people that consider me their enemy, but I don't consider anybody my enemy but the devil. And they may wish I'd go to hell, but I don't wish anyone to go to hell. I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be healthy. I want everybody to be wise. I can't find it. You pick up that cross of love. Now, it's a heavy burden to love the Lord like you ought to. Because your old flesh is going to keep getting in the way and wants you to throw that cross down. Just lay it down today. That's what the flesh will tell you. You can love Him tomorrow, but today you need to watch out for you. You need to love you today. You ever heard those psychologists, psychiatrists, they say you got to learn to love yourself. Well, if you love yourself, you're going to get in trouble because self will deceive you. The heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says, and no man can know it. It's deceitful. It'll lie to you. I'm not telling you to go out here and whip yourself like these Muslims, you know, with whips and all that stuff. I'm not telling you to take razors and cut yourself, but I'm telling you this. This flesh, you got to keep it under control because it is cursed by sin.
Amen.
The blood of Adam flows through that body right there.
Amen.
We all inherited His blood. And that blood's tainted. It's tainted. And everybody's born with that blood is a sinner because it's tainted with sin. You never had to teach a baby how to tell a lie. They already know how. You never have to teach a child how to steal. They already know how. You never have to teach one how to be selfish. They're born selfish. Come on, help me. And it's hard to love something besides this. Amen. And most Christians, when they say they love you, here's what they really mean. I love you as long as you love me back. If you don't love me back, I don't love you no more.
Amen.
That's what they're really, most of them are saying. That. But see, we got to take up that cross of love and we got to love God like He loves us. And if we love Him like He loves us, then we'll love others too. Amen.
Yes, sir.
This is a spiritual war. Love is not physical, not the love of God. It's spiritual love. Mark chapter 8, you're already there. Look at verse 34. You were in Mark chapter 12. Look at Mark chapter 8. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he can shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, that's a cross of self-denial. That's a cross of self-denial. He says, take up that cross and follow Him. He said, follow me. And then He says, lose your life. Lose your life. Before you were saved, you were all about you. Everything was about you. That's why there's so many divorces in America. Each one of them is about themselves. That's right. That's why so many children are abandoned or abused in America, because the parents are all about self. That's why more and more young people are not getting married, because they don't want to commit to anybody else, because they're all about self. That's why so many people that say they're Christians never join a church, because they don't want to commit themselves to that church, because they're all about self. Y'all still with me? And so we have to take up that cross of self-denial and say, yes, this is what I want, but what does God want? This is what would make me happy, but would it be good for anybody around me? That's a spiritual battle. Self-denial. The devil came to Adam, to Eve, and said, look here at this tree. It's good to make one wise. If you eat this, you're going to be like a god. You know what he was appealing to? Herself. He knew that if he could appeal to her flesh and herself, and she could be what she thought would be happiness and live forever and be like God and be smart as God, wise as God, then she'd be somebody. She wouldn't just be Adam's wife. And she fell for it. We do too. Matthew 6:24. Y'all listening pretty fast. Turn there. I want you to mark this one. Matthew 6:24. We've got to take up another cross. I said the cross of prayer, the cross of love, the cross of self-denial. How about this one? The cross of getting away from worldliness. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon meaning the things of this world. And then in 1 John 2:15-17, he says, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Now that's that cross of getting away from worldly lust, worldly desires. I grew up poor, real poor. My worldly lust was to have money, to have stuff. I wanted stuff. I saw other people with stuff. Y'all ever felt like that? I thought, man, they got that car. I ought to have that car. And I'd go to school with friends that had nice automobiles that their parents bought for them. And I bought a 1960 Falcon. Y'all remember Falcon, 1965. I wish I had it now, it'd be worth $100,000. You know, I paid $130 for it. Used $130 out of man's front yard. It was a 3-speed on the column. Had a motor about that long, 6-cylinder, about that wide. I'd pull up to the gas station. It held 10 gallons of gas. Gas was 33 cents a gallon. And I'd pull up, I'd go in the house, dig out in the couch and get a gallon of gas, you know. But I'd pull up at the gas station, I'd go over to the pump and I'd put the pump on lock so it would keep pumping. And they kept a jar, a gallon jar, like one of the big old pickle jars, was between the pumps. And when people get oil back then, you had this thing you had to stab in an oil can, and then you would take your cap off, pour it in the motor, and then when you got through it, you'd stick it on the edge of that jar and the drippings would go in that jar. Or if you got transmission fluid, same way, and the drippings would all go together in that jar. Didn't matter if it was 30 weight or 40 weight or 50 weight. They didn't have nothing like 10-40 or 10-20, nothing like that. And so I'd walk up there. It would hold 4 quarts of oil or whatever was in it. And they charged me $1 for it. So every time I get gas, I'd buy that gallon of whatever it was. And I'd take my oil cap off and pour that in there. Because it poured. It blew the way I drove it. Now, listen. If you drove it, it might only took a quart of that. But the way a 16-year-old boy drove it, it took 4 quarts every time. I slung the oil out of that thing. I threw 3 clutches out racing. Can you believe I was racing through? Tore up 3 clutches. Learned how to put a clutch in by myself. Somebody said, hey, you learn how to do that. Poverty is the mother of education. I taught myself. Nobody, I didn't have the money to pay nobody. I went and bought me a $15 clutch and I said, well, where does that go? And I started taking stuff apart and I stuck it up in there and drove it. Did that 3 times. I sold it for $80. And I'd look at my friends riding up and down the road in a 64 Chevelle Malibu. 65 Malibu. 64 Impala, rolled in pleated seats, red interior. 4-speed in the floor, 396, 400 horsepower, and I'm throwing out clutches in a Falcon. I wanted what they had. I wanted it. Why can't I have that? They had nice clothes, nice shoes. Good thing it's hippie era, because everything I had was already wore out by the time the hippie era come in. I looked right in style. Patches everywhere. We used to have patches. Y'all remember patches?
Yeah.
I was cool. They just didn't know it was poverty. It wasn't cool. But I'm saying this. I wanted what they had. I'd have done anything, and I did. I got me a better job and a better job and a better job and a better car and a better car and a real girlfriend. But the old flesh never was satisfied, Jeff. Then I got married and I wanted a bigger house and wanted more money and never could satisfy this thing. But then March the 5th, 1978, I walked down that aisle, and I knew when I stepped out and walked down that aisle, I was giving up everything. I was giving up everything. That doesn't mean I had to go sell it. It just meant that it was changing ownership. I wasn't going to own nothing anymore. Every bit of it belongs to Him. Everything I've got and everything I've had, and He's blessed me and He's took care of me. And compared to where I come from, I am a rich man. Now, I may not be rich compared to you or some of you, your family, but compared to where I come from, I'm a rich man. I got 8 pair of shoes in my closet. I'm a rich man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I don't need all this stuff to make me happy anymore. I've got the One that created it. And He owns it all.
That's right.
So I just take up that cross and I deny these old worldly things and I just follow Him. I don't need to play the lottery. I'm a winner. I don't need to play poker. I'm a winner. I played poker one time when I was lost a whole week's paycheck, played all night, lost, and the boy felt sorry for me and gave it half back, and I lost it again to him that same night. Never played poker again. I'm telling you, look, the day you got saved, you should have been picking up the spiritual cross called Jesus' will and His way and forgot all that other stuff. And if God gives it to you, praise God. If God doesn't give it to you, hallelujah anyhow.
Sir, praise
you, Lord. Hey man, we're in a war. That old devil son, he'll come to you. You're about 12 or so. It ain't long. He's going to come to you and he's going to have all kind of stuff he wants to give you. If you'll just follow him, he'll give you just about it, or he'll lie to you. He'll take it back later.
Yes, sir. That's right.
He
sure will.
Love not the world, neither things are in the world. And then last, Romans 12. Turn there. Romans 12. Mark it. I done went over time. Romans 12. Most of you already know this. I said there's a cross of prayer, there's a cross of love, there's a cross of self-denial, there's a cross of getting away from worldly lust, there's a cross of sacrifice. This is a spiritual battle, folks. It's not free. Jesus paid a high price to win us and to take us to heaven when we die. And listen, it's going to cost us while we're here. If we're going to be disciples of Him, we can't be like everybody else. And the church is not teaching that anymore. Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is Paul talking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm begging you because of the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lay it on the altar. Lay it down in front of God. Give it to God. Present your body a living sacrifice. Holy. That means living holy, living right. Acceptable unto God. God won't accept anything else. You know, God don't take our leftovers.
Amen.
People call me and they'll say, Pastor, we had a yard sale and we got some stuff we couldn't sell. We're going to bring it over to the church. And I don't say it, but I think this. God don't want your junk.
Amen.
If your neighbors didn't buy it, why do you think God would want it? It can't be too good. Got one three-legged table. Toys that the battery went bad in and the acid is all up inside the toy. Clothes is, you know, got holes in. God don't want our junk. He wants what's acceptable. He wants, look, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we serve God and be not conformed to this world. Conform means like take a piece of clay and you make it into something else. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means take this right here, and y'all like those old Transformer movies and cartoons, all that stuff. It means take this right here and make it into an automobile. Ain't that what they do? The Transformer, they have a little old ball and it turns into a big giant something. That's what God wants to do. He wants to take your little old ball of clay and transform it into something huge and powerful for this spiritual war that we're in. Okay? And then he said, transform by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needs not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. You study the Bible. That's how you transform your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now wait a minute, you don't have to prove anything to God. He knows your heart, he knows your mind, he knows your spirit. You're proving this to everybody else, to the world, by carrying that cross. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. Now, God gives you the faith. Look, you don't even have the faith to get saved. The day you got saved, that faith was a gift. You stepped out, he put it in you. That was it. You called, and he poured it in. You didn't have any faith, but he gave you a measure of faith just enough to get you to step out by faith and receive his son, or to look up and call on the name of the Lord. Now, as you go through the Christian life, he gives you more faith to do whatever he wants you to do, his will in your life, to prove that perfect and acceptable will of God. He gives you the faith to do what he calls you to do. But it's a cross, because now he's not calling you to salvation. He's calling you to sacrifice yourself. Lay yourself down at the feet of Jesus. A living sacrifice. People will say, well, I'll die for Jesus. He doesn't want a dead sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We don't need that again. He wants living sacrifices. People that will obey him and follow him and act like him and be obedient and serve him and others through love. See? Now that's a cross to carry. That's hard work. If you ever want to get your heart broken and get disappointed, start serving others.
Amen.
Start serving others. Quit being a self-serving Christian. Start serving others. These folks talking about going in the nursing home. I think you was talking about going. Going in the nursing home. Serving. Those people can do nothing for you. Nothing. They can't do anything for the church. They can't do anything. See, what you're doing is you're serving people that cannot help themselves. And you're encouraging people in a place where they'll get no encouragement. And you're giving hope to the hopeless. And you're giving love to the unlovable. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, in order to do that, you're going to have to lay your body on the at the foot of Jesus Christ and say, I'm laying me down, Lord. I'm sacrificing me so that I can serve others and you. That's a spiritual thing. That's not physical. That's spiritual. And it's hard. That's why we call it a cross. It's a cross to carry. That's why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I don't know who's watching. By the time this is over, usually about 700 to 1,000 people will watch this. But let me tell you this. If anybody ever told you that the real Christian life is easy, they lied to you. I don't mean that they're going to put you in jail for being a Christian. I don't mean people's going to threaten your life for being a Christian. Hardly in America. But I'm telling you, it is hard to die to yourself, take up the cross of Christ daily, and follow Him. That's hard.
Amen.
And every demon outside of hell will attack you. And the devil will turn your family, your friends, your people you work with, your children, your husband, your wife. He said, Jesus said, even the people in your house will turn into your enemies when you follow Him. Because it's spiritual war. And those people don't see the battle, but we do. And you know, the sad thing about it is, we're doing it for them.
Amen.
We're doing it for them. And they say, who are you to tell me what to do? I say, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what He said to do. And I love you enough that I'll tell you. And risk you get mad at me. And risk you mocking me and making fun of me and criticizing me. And then some of them will even lie on you. But you see, it shouldn't bother you that much because you died to yourself. And you're in a spiritual war and you know it and they don't know it. I see the enemy every day. It's this world, the things of this world, the people of this world, and satanic forces that we don't see. There's a war going on right now. But those people that we love and we're trying to serve them, they don't see that. I didn't see it. And then you get saved and you try to follow Christ. You want to become a disciple of Christ and God opens your eyes and you see things different. You read the Bible, you read it different. And you love people different. And we're in a war. Old David, in the Old Testament, when everybody else wouldn't fight Goliath because he was 9 feet, 9 and a half feet tall, I think it was, Goliath. Little David, teenage boy, he goes up there, he says, why hadn't somebody whooped that ungodly Philistine? Who does he think he is defying the armies of the living God? And they said, shut up, boy. You ain't got no part in this. You go home. He said, I'm not going home. Somebody's got to stand up to this devil. And so they take him to the king, King Saul. And King Saul says, wow, kind of a shrimp. But if you'll go out there, I guess, because if you win, we win. And if he wins, they win. So here, take my shield. And he had a big old shield, said, it took two men to carry it almost, you know, and he had to be, here, take my sword and here, take my breastplate and put these on when you go to fight him. And David put them on and he stood there a minute and he said,
amen.
I can't use this. He said, why not? He said, I'm not trying these. I don't know if these will work or not. He said, but I got this slingshot right here. He said, I've got a God in heaven. And he said, he let me kill a bear with my bare hands. And he let me rip a lion's mouth wide open with my bare hands. And that same God's going to give me this giant's head.
Yes,
and he walked out there and that giant looked at him and laughed. He said, who am I, a dog that you'd send a little old boy after me? And he said, shut up, I'm fixing to knock your block off. And he took that thing. And it wasn't like our sling shots. It was a sling. It was two strings with a piece of leather. And you put a rock down there. And he had two or three smooth stones he picked up out of the creek on the way out there. Five foot grace. And so he's doing this. And that. What can you see? And by the way, Goliath had on a helmet. And he had on armor. And he had a shield. And he had a sword so big. And he let go of that stone. That thing hit him right between the eyes. And it knocked him down, but it didn't kill him. It knocked him down. And that little boy about your size, son, he walked over and he took Goliath's own sword. What? And chopped that big boy's head off. And grabbed it by the hair and took it up there and handed it to the king and said, here's your giant. You see, while the rest of them was over on that hill looking down at that giant, they said, that's too big. We can't do it. That's too hard. We're not going to do that. We might get killed. We might get hurt. He might make fun of us. Who knows? Everybody else might make fun of us when we fail. I'll tell you what, let somebody else go. David walks up and says, I'll go. He said, because this battle ain't mine, it's the Lord's. And this boy be dead before the night's over. And he was. Amen. We're in the same battle. Very few see it that way, though. So we're in spiritual warfare. And now you're equipped. But the way we win is we serve Him and others. That's the way we win. All right, let's stand. Father, thank You for Your inerrant, inspired Word of God. Well, I don't know everything, but I know this. Your hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And you haven't went to sleep. You're not even napping. And it's not like you don't know what's going on down here. We know that you know. You know all things. You knew it before it was ever formed. And there's nothing that surprises God. You know what each and every one of us is going through. You know it, God. And you know who's accepted You as your Savior if there's somebody that hasn't. You know, God, we don't know. We can't see the heart. But God, we do know, those of us who are saved, God, we know we're in a battle. A spiritual battle. And Lord, if You don't help us to carry our cross, we're going to fall. Lord, we're going to fail. You said You'd never leave us nor forsake us. You said that I'd be in Your hand and Your hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck You out. And so, Lord, we're calling on You tonight to help us fight this battle. There's some giants out there, God, coming after us. And we need Your help. And help us to be prayerful and help us to be self-sacrificing, Lord. And help us to avoid the things of this world. But most of all, help us to pick up that cross of love that we'd love others and serve them. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your hymn book. Get your hymn book. Come on, brother.
Turn to 445. 445. Have thine own way.